VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. I have some very important information we'll be passing on this hour. We hope you'll be able to stay tuned. Just before we do introduce our guest today, we just want to be mindful of the devastating tornadoes, loss of life that swarmed through the Midwest and the South. Kentucky being the hardest hit state with some four twisters, a path of close to 200 miles. I mean, this morning, Governor Beshear of Kentucky announced 64 people had been confirmed dead, at least 105 unaccounted for. And we just want to recognize this and encourage you to be praying for the so many that have been impacted by these devastating storms, those that are grieving today. Those who have lost virtually everything that they've known, their employment, their homes, everything else, family members, and just reminding you to keep this matter in your prayers. To our topic today, warnings continue across America of the Omicron variant. The solution from Dr. Fauci, the CDC, the FDA, the Biden administration is to get the shot. And after you've had the shot, you get the second one, and then you get the booster. And we'll determine down the road if another booster will be needed. Teenagers and children are being told to get the shot. Tests are underway to have the shot tested on those less than the age of 5, even infants. Meanwhile, healthcare workers who are refusing the jab are being let go. Once they were applauded as being heroes, now they are condemned as being zeros. Some states have called up the National Guard to assist with the overflow in hospitals. Meanwhile, Congress has instituted the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act of 2021. It's passed in the House. It is said that this will expand state and local health department vaccine tracking systems, monitoring the status of American citizens with their vaccines. States would provide the information to the federal government. These and other issues will be discussed on our program today. It's our privilege to have back with us Twyla Brays, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla is a registered nurse. She's a certified public health nurse, author of Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's a speaker on the Daily Health Freedom Minute, heard on stations across the nation. Twyla, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
I'm so glad to be back here. Thanks, Jim.
Well, Twyla, I'd like to start with this truly alarming piece of legislation, H.R. 550, passed by the House, now over to the Senate, called the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act of 2021. What can you tell us about it?
Well, you know, it is essentially $400 million to be distributed amongst the states that are willing to help build this network of vaccination data. And, you know, that's what it looks like on the outside. You know, that's why probably 80 Republicans in the U.S. House voted for this. But, you know, if you look more closely at the details of this bill, which is about 15 pages long or 14 pages, then what you'll see is how this is really helping to build the government's electronic data system across the country. So the data systems that they build have to conform to what the federal government says they must conform to. They have to allow bi-directional reporting, which means between the government, so the government being able to report it one way and the states being able to report it back to them, but that's not all. It's also bidirectional with the electronic health records sitting in the exam room or at the doctor's offices or at the hospital, that these should also be bidirectional. There's a part of the bill that says that this all has to comply with other language that was passed back in 2009, which requires any doctor or any hospital to have an electronic health record or be penalized for every Medicare patient. But it couldn't just be an electronic health record. It has to be an electronic health record that is certified by the government to do what the government wants the electronic health record to do, much of which has to do with reporting data on patients. And so that little piece in there that talks about it's got to follow the certification requirements is also in this bill, meaning that this is how the federal government is going to be building this system. And, you know, I've always looked at the vaccination registries in every state as something that was put in as though it was innocuous. And because, you know, it's just vaccinations. But to me, it's always been the camel's nose into the privacy tent. And this is how the government began building these computerized data systems that can then have all sorts of other data added to them. It's not just vaccinations. It's different things about your family, whatever data the federal government wants to be part of that, and then now to connect it with, you know, the electronic health records that have all of your data in. And so to some extent, I think that this $400 million is being used to build a nationwide electronic medical record system. Now, we already have that system. It's called the eHealth Exchange, but not every doctor, hospital, or health plan is willing to participate in it. But the thing is growing already. There are lots of participants in it, and this, of course, is where the government wants to take medical data. They want a nationwide health data system. They want to standardize all the data. They want everybody to be connected. They aren't there by about sometimes you hear them say that they're about 40% of the hospitals or 40% of the healthcare systems are on it. And so I'm not exactly sure how many are on it, but I think all of this is pulling together to build a system that they want that doesn't give us any consent or control over our data. And so I was not pleased with this bill, and I am hoping that H.R. 550, that it does not simply go over to the Senate and get passed. And we have already alerted some key senators about this. And there are senators that are privacy people, but I don't know if this will qualify. I don't know if they'll connect the dots. I don't know if they care about these dots being connected, but there are Democrats that are privacy folks, and I guess we'll see.
Again, folks, that's H.R. 550. It's gone through the House, and as Twyla mentioned, there was a large number of Republicans that joined with the Democrats in passing this, and you can certainly weigh in with your U.S. senator by contacting them through the Senate switchboard, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. It's called H.R. 550. It's called the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act of 2021. Now, Twyla, there are many who, you know, they hear things like this and they'll say, what about HIPAA? And many mistakenly believe that HIPAA is this privacy agreement that one patient has with their doctor, and it doesn't go beyond that. But that's not the case, is it?
No, HIPAA is nothing like what the public believes and actually has been made to believe about HIPAA. The public has been made to believe, just by the use of the words privacy, that this has something to do with protecting your privacy. But HIPAA actually was put into place to eliminate your privacy. And so although there's several things that might make you think that there's privacy, we really call these the HIPAA hassle factors. You know, like you have to stand 10 feet behind the pharmacy desk, or they won't let you into the hospital just because you use the name of somebody that's there. They won't let you drop off. They'll let you drop off flowers, but they won't actually let you up, right? That sort of thing. Things that make people believe that HIPAA protects privacy, but in fact, HIPAA does not. HIPAA allows your data to be accessed by, well, what HHS says, this is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, in a rule back in 2010, they essentially said that there's 2.2 million entities, not people, entities like corporations and others that can have access to your data if those who hold it choose to share. And they don't have to get your consent to do that sharing. And that 2.2 million includes 702,000 entities that you would think of for having your data, like laboratories, hospitals, health plans, long-term care facilities, those kind of places. But it also includes 1.5 million business associates, and those are different corporations to do data analytics, buying, selling, lawyers, you know, all sorts of different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But above and beyond that are the 12 national priority purposes for which your data can be shared without your consent, including public health. And so now when we're talking about immunizations, et cetera, COVID, you know, it's, then we're just talking about how there's nothing in HIPAA that protects you against public health getting access to this data unless you have a state law, a state privacy law that prohibits them from having access to this data. HIPAA does not prevent
it. Dwayne, again, I've got so many topics here for us. Let's talk about the Omicron variant. What do we know about it? And I ask that because there's been such a renewed push that you've got to get the shot due to this variant. Even though they don't know the effectiveness against the variant, what do we know about Omicron?
Well, it's very, very interesting. And so I just say, listen up. So, you know, it was first found in South Africa, although it's people have figured out that it's probably been somewhere else as well. It was just discovered first in South Africa. And that is that COVID deaths have decoupled in South Africa, decoupled, which means that the cases are at an all-time high and the deaths are at their lowest rate since 18 months ago. What that means is that Omicron is a very mild disease for most people, very mild. Deaths aren't really happening, and but it's very infectious. And so, you know, you could consider it like a flu type of infectiousness. It's very infectious, but it's not, it's mild. And so in the United States, in a very interesting article that Reuters reported on, and that is that most of the Omicron cases in the U.S. are fully vaccinated. Fully vaccinated. 80% of the 43 are in fully vaccinated persons, and 33% are in triple jabbed.
Mm.
So, you know, I think one thing that's really important, I think, for your listeners to understand about these so-called vaccines, these injections, is they were created and to narrowly target the spike protein. That's it. And COVID is made up of 29 proteins. Only one of them is the spike protein. And because of that, as these injections have, you know, advanced around the country, there is what's called immune escape. And, some people are saying that the variants are coming because of the so-called vaccine, because it's only it's not targeted at the entirety of the virus. So it's only targeted to one protein, and so it's easy for COVID to mutate, unless you've actually had COVID, because when you have had COVID, your body has immunized itself against all 29 proteins.
We're going to take a break right here. Twyla Braze with us, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And, folks, I hope you're listening carefully. That's what I said. Listen, you know, listen to what she's saying, because you're not going to read this on the front page of your newspapers. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braze is with us today from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. She is a registered nurse. She is a certified public health nurse. She is also an advocate for patient privacy. She is the author of Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records, of which we were just warning about this H.R. 550 here just a bit ago. But, Twyla, what you said here before the break is causing the ears of many to perk up. It sounded like you're saying that the shot itself is actually causing variants to develop.
Well, that is what some are saying, like at the COVID summits that are being held around the country, or Dr. Robert Malone, who was the creator of the original messenger RNA platform. You know, that's his concern, is that because it doesn't cover the entirety of the virus can simply escape it by morphing into something different. And so, yes, I mean, it's very interesting now to see, like, in Israel, in August, in Israel, 60% of the hospitalized COVID patients, 60% of the COVID patients were vaccinated against COVID. And they're in the hospital in Israel. And Israel is one of the highest vaccinated countries in the world. I think it's in the 80% vaccination rate. So, you know, there's something going on here that I don't think the media is really talking about. Yeah. So it was interesting to see Reuters, a major news source, come out and say that most of the Omicron cases are in the fully vaccinated.
You mentioned Dr. Robert Malone, and ladies and gentlemen, he is the vaccine researcher that invented the messenger RNA technology that's behind the Pfizer and the Moderna shots. And, Twyla, he is opposed to universal vaccination for the COVID-19 virus. And right now, he is willing to risk his reputation that he's built for over three decades. He believes the mandates and policies are causing serious harm, and particularly to children. I mean, he's the inventor of this, and he is sounding the alarm.
Right, right. And so, yeah, you're an expert in the media's eyes until you say something that's against the narrative.
Right.
And so he has been saying something against the narrative, and he has been pummeled for doing so. But, yes, it is his reputation of years and years and years in this business. And, you know, it's really important to listen to the outside narratives. You know, I just want to mention something that has not many people have heard of, but your listeners should look up the words mass formation. Mass, M-A-S-S, formation. Those are two separate words. And this is actually a very interesting rationale for why the public is following lockstep to their own detriment, no matter what, that there's another narrative. It's a phenomenal possibility that this is what has caused this. And it really focuses on sort of the state of the population. So if people are rather disconnected from each other, if there's a lot of angst in the population, if there's a lot of meaninglessness at work, this thing called mass formation is that somebody then puts out this narrative, and then suddenly everybody gets to be majorly connected with one another. They're all part of a big purpose, and all to their detriment, they're willing to follow. So there is a professor in Belgium who has done this, taught people this for a long, long time, and he's now doing videos saying, you know, I can't believe it took me a while to figure this out, that the thing I've been talking about is actually what's going on here.
Wow.
But mass formation as a rationale for what we all find astonishing, that people are just willing to believe these things, you know, and just ignore everything and mask forever, right?
Okay. Again, that's mass, M-A-S-S. Formation, mass formation, Twyla, virtually daily. I mean, we're being hit with this. We're hearing the bed counts in the hospitals, the number of ICU availabilities are being full or overcrowded. We're told that this surge is due to the unvaccinated. Could you address that? I mean, if we've got as many people coming down with COVID as you know, with that are vaccinated, something is, you know, something's wrong with this narrative here.
Right. So. You know, I can't say that I know what's happening in the hospitals, but what I can say is that hospitals are having staffing problems.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten rid of people who refuse to get the injection. So that means every person that they get rid of, whether they're a full-time or part-time, that's a lot of patients that they can't take care of. That's a lot of beds that they have to take out of the hospital as far as having anybody to staff those beds. But then in addition to that, there's this definition of what is vaccinated and what is unvaccinated. And unless you have been vaccinated, unless you got the injection 14 days ago or longer, you're not actually considered vaccinated. So they will count you as being unvaccinated while you're sitting there in your hospital bed. Even though you've gotten both the jabs, even though you've gotten a booster, if they have changed their definition to fully vaccinated, being having a booster, so they might, you know, be changing that. But then here's the other thing. You know, if they really want to take care of people, if they really want to cure people, if they really want to help people, they'll give them early treatment, and they're not. You know, people are in the hospital because they're not being treated well outside the hospital. They're getting COVID. They're being told, go home, wait until you're breathless, wait until your lungs start clotting off, and then come and see us, right? Ivermectin, you know, is basically forbidden. People are making their own early treatment kits, which is something that we now have a COVID quick reference guide. We have the instructions for a kit in there. We have the instructions for how to prepare for having COVID. You know, what to do when you get COVID.
Twilight, let me just interject. I mean, this is really breaking news because this is something that Citizens Council for Health Freedom is just putting out there.
Just putting out. My staff might be putting it up at this moment because we were just finishing the last details and we wanted it available to your audience. And then it's got a very quick one-page guide at the back of it to just boom, 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 boom. You know, look through all those and it'll tell you some pages to go look at if you want more information within it. But, you know, the real thing here is early treatment. You know, I don't know if you know that in Chicago there is a guy that was on an intubator for 30 days until his wife's case, actually the judge said, yes, give him ivermectin. So they gave him ivermectin. He's out walking around 15 days later, right? And so that's actually treatment that could have been used early, so he would have never gotten into the hospital, but there it worked for him, even though it was late. It doesn't work for everybody late, but it took a lawsuit by the wife, 30 days of intubation, before she could get him the medication that saved his life, got him off the vent, and sent him home.
Hmm.
You know, this is criminal behavior. It's unethical. It's immoral. You know, if this is all to make sure that they can keep vaccinating people to set a precedent of when the government says thou shalt be vaxxed, everybody is vaxxed. You know, there's nothing right about this, and there's everything wrong about forbidding doctors to take care of patients and save their lives. And so that's another reason why the hospitals are so-called full. And I'm not even sure of the definition of full because it may have to do with the fact they don't have as many staff because they terminated them because they refused to get injected.
And so we now have some states that are actually activating the National Guard to come in and to help equip and provide medical care.
Yes, but the really wonderful thing is what the judges have done around this country, right? And so there are judges who have just shut down Biden's mandates, his vaccine mandates. Shut them down at the healthcare provider level, although some of the hospitals are still maintaining their course to get these people right. But they've shut them down at the federal workers level. They shut them down at the federal contractors level. There's one military a provider, I think. It's an industrial company who has told the Biden administration, that's not in our contract. And until it's in our contract, we're not forcing our workers to get vaccinated. So the Biden administration is losing, you know, lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. And the rulings are really exciting to read because the judges don't mince words. And they've just basically told them they got absolutely no right to be doing this.
But many times what we find, and again, this we have the overreach of government and government control, the Biden administration on so many things We know they you know, earlier they said, no, we can't do this, we can't mandate this, we can't do this, we can't do that. So they say that, but then they put this system into play and they push it till the nth degree, and that knowing fully well that the court is going to strike it down. But meanwhile, they've gotten millions of people to succumb and to bow down to their mandates, and as a result, they feel satisfied that they've accomplished what they set out to do.
Well, I don't think they feel satisfied, because I think that the precedent that they have in mind here, I think there's two things. One, they're maybe in cahoots with all the vaccine companies. But the other thing is that they have the idea here is that if they set this precedent and they get everybody to submit, the next time that they say, you know, you need to be injected for this, then the fight will be gone.
You're right.
People will have given up. Well, in no way, shape, or form should we be giving up. And so I don't think they're satisfied. I think they just don't want to lose face, and so they won't back down.
Hmm. Twyla Bray's with us today. Her website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, the shot is being mandated as well for children in some areas. I saw an article in LifeSite News just reporting that the Los Angeles Unified School District has enacted one of the most severe COVID-19 jab mandates in the nation that requires all students 12 and up to get the shot. And if they don't, they're going to be refused access to in-person learning this coming semester. They're right now estimating, Los Angeles Times said, roughly about 34,000 students who have not gotten this full regimen of injections are going to be barred from in-person learning. And they're instituting what they're calling a no leniency policy to this. I mean, children are now the ones that are being focused, not just those 12 and older, but now ages 5 to 12.
This shows you the agenda, because the fact of the matter that shows you the agenda has nothing to do with COVID itself. COVID itself, which especially if you gave early treatment, would essentially kill no one or almost no one, right? And but the children are basically immune to it. They, you know, it's for them, it's like a little cold if they have symptoms at all, you know, unless they are morbidly obese, they have diabetes, or they're immune compromised. These are not a lot of children. And so you can protect those children with early treatment, right? And the fact that they would submit all of these children to a medical procedure that will not benefit them, and certainly will expose them to danger, like the myocarditis that is happening in all these young men in particular, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know what it's going to do to these children. As a reminder, you know, we're talking about basically 8 months of study, no animal studies, no studies at all on pregnant women, on fetuses, on, you know, young children. I mean, now they're doing some little study. But, you know, most of these vaccine studies, they take 5 to 10 years. Fauci himself said there wouldn't be a vaccine. And of course, this is brand new technology, never been used before, never.
And folks, it was sped up and sped up and sped up. Hey, we'll be back in just a minute. Twyla Bray's with us here today. I've got more information that we'll be sharing as well. And trust you'll stay tuned here to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Robert Sheffy was an itinerant circuit-riding preacher committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. At the 200th anniversary of his birth, Unusual Films released a special, restored, high-definition edition of the powerful film, Sheffy. VCY is making available a Sheffy combination pack to reach a whole new generation. The pack includes both a Blu-ray and DVD, and even a digital download. Also included are public showing rights, enabling churches and schools that own a copy to show it publicly. While normal retail is $19.95, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15, and each additional combo for a donation of just $10 more. You can obtain 10 combo sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Another tragic story coming out over the weekend from LifeSiteNews.com. A baby whose mother received two COVID vaccine shots during her last trimester of pregnancy was born bleeding from his mouth and nose, died the day after his birth, according to a recent report to the U.S. government Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System from a foreign regulatory authority. Twyla, this is so disheartening to hear, and we understand that there have been warnings given by different groups. We've had Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vallee with us here as well, talking about how this will attack the bodies of women and so forth. This was not something, I mean, this was something very concerned about, expectant women going in and getting the shot.
Yes, right. And there's, you know, this is the thing. People have said, oh, no, right? And I don't believe that the CDC is actually going to, you know, believe or is actually going to say that it has anything to do with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the concern. Miscarriages, which is another bleeding problem, right, when the baby miscarriages.
Yes.
And stillbirths. So there are some places where they have been finding an extraordinary number of stillbirths. If you're on Twitter at all, sometimes nurses are on Twitter and they're talking about how many stillbirths that they've had over the last month and that they can't believe it because they've never seen that many ever before. And so, you know, there are things happening here that the government doesn't want to talk about, but that are actually happening. And they should not be dismissed. And people should be thinking very carefully as to whether they really want to take this vaccine, this injection.
Twyla, I'd like you to also address the vilification going on. I mean, I just saw a story on WND.com about Governor Jay Inslee, governor of Washington, who really likened people who have chosen not to take the shot, compared them to domestic terrorists. He said 34% of Washingtonians are walking around with a time bomb in their backpack because they're not vaccinated. Your comments on the vilification.
Well, this is all part of the agenda, right? I mean, I think, you know, whereas mass formation might be why the public is just following lockstep without really using their brains,
mm-hmm.
you know, to look at this, there are other agendas at foot who are just using this, you know, to arrive at that. And so vilification is to set, you know, one group of people against another group of people to put pressure on that other group of people to do what the government wants to be done. And so, you know, it is scandalous, it's heinous that government officials would say these things about people who choose to, you know, have freedom about what goes in and in their body and to choose not to put certain things into their body. And particularly, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's such a treatable illness, and people are not dying. It's not like smallpox, and even smallpox didn't have this kind of onerous provisions around the country. It had a $5 fine if you refused, right? Smallpox killed 30% of its victims. You know, this is killing at the most in the elderly 6%, and would they even have to be if they had had early treatment?
Wow.
You know, I just think, you know, that just shows how there's something else going on here. There's an agenda of compliance and bowing and submission, and that's where the government wants to drive the public. And the fact that there's a whole host of people, including those 34,000 children, right, in that school district, right, those parents have got to stand up and still say no. You know, because this is a battle right now, a bloodless battle for freedom in this country, but it's a battle. And, you know, they have to set those red lines and never walk over them. And that's the way we win. And I do believe we will win. But people have to, you know, what do they say, that man their stations and not move.
Yeah.
Not move.
And as you know, right now there are many that are filing for religious exemptions, but the Biden administration, I mean, their policy basically has been to ignore these. Not to, you know, yes, we'll accept religious exemptions, we're just not going to grant any.
Right. So Jeff Childers, he's an attorney, and he gave a presentation at the COVID summit in, I think it was Ocala, but it could have been Kansas City. And he talked about why religious exemptions are the very best, and that the EEOC requirements say that they can't ask all the questions that they're asking. They can't do the inquisition. So people have to file those religious exemptions. They don't have to detail anything about their religion. The EEOC does not require it. You just get to file it. So he has a wonderful presentation in one of these COVID summits about how this works. And I think we may even have a link to that at COVIDlegal.org, which is our special site having to do with the legal part and the exemptions and all that sort of thing on COVID. So COVIDlegal.org, I think we have a link to his presentation or to that summit that says go to this mark, because we wanted everybody to be able to hear what he had to say.
COVIDlegal.org is that website. Friends, we'll have more information, but I'd like to open the phone lines as well here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Taking your calls today, questions, brief comments as it relates to the COVID mandates, government control, as we mentioned, the patient privacy and a patient freedom of choice is something that Twyla has long held to, and Citizens Council for Health Freedom guards those aspects very seriously here as well. And taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Midway, Florida. And, Mac, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you, Brother Jim, and thanks for having Twyla back on again.
Yeah.
Really a hot button topic even here on the Gulf Coast too, because from Pensacola all the way to Panama City, we've got a lot of military here, and a lot of guys are worried about losing their jobs. The younger guys that I talk to as well, they're making life difficult for people down here. And believe it or not, we've got a wonderful governor, you know that, but still he's got a tough road. Now I'd like to just ask for prayer for Governor DeSantis, because he's worth his salt.
Yeah.
One other thing, too. I was wondering whether or not Swallow knows about all these frontline doctors that are here and all the ones that are popping up in different state chapters now. It seems like a chapter. I don't know if you call it that.
So there is the official organization, America's Frontline Doctors, but there's also these COVID summits that are coming out of the Global Summit, why can't I think of the last name, .org. GlobalCovidSummit.org, I think that's what it is. And they are holding these all-day seminars, and there's a bunch of doctors from a bunch of different places around the country that are all giving the truth about COVID. They're all people who are using early treatment, trying to get other doctors to use early treatment. And so any doctor – So our publication called the COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide is up now on our website. It might still say the COVID Prepare Protocol, but it's up on our homepage, and we actually show you how you can find the doctors, how you can find the pharmacies, you know, where you need to go to look them up, and what the process is, all of that sort of thing, because these are the people you have to find. Compounding pharmacies, mom-and-pop pharmacies, are the ones most likely to let you have access to the ivermectin. You need to build your own ivermectin kit. And regarding the military, I know, and I'm not sure if it's Jeff Childers or somebody else that's involved in trying to get the courts to stop the vaccine mandate within the military. But I do believe there is a lawsuit. And so that's probably the next lawsuit to be heard on all of these lawsuits that I mentioned where the courts have shut down Biden so far. Hopefully that will be the next one where he gets shut down.
Mac, thank you for the call. And we got a lot of callers lined up here, but let me just say again, that was just released seconds ago here, minutes ago here at Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And I think get on the homepage and it'll be fine-tuned there, but you'll see the COVID-19 Prepare Protocol that they have published there. And if you click through the links, it'll take you to a 24-page document on that very aspect there. Prevention and prevention for COVID-19, treating COVID-19 infection, hospitalization for COVID-19 infection, and also that of treating long-haul COVID as well, which is another real issue that many are facing. Let's go to, again, the website cchfreedom.org. We have Jason calling from Corbin, Kentucky. Jason, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Love the program. Great information. The control of this country, trying to devastate our country, destroy it, giving arms to our enemies in Afghanistan, getting people killed left and right with the vaccines, and how they're doing all this control. I would just like to make a statement. You take God out of public life, and you don't have nothing to stand on. You get chaos. You get lawlessness. And Biden wants to come to Kentucky because of the tornadoes, and I really don't want him to visit us. I'd like to have him take Kentucky off the air, and thank you. I'll get the information of the ivermectin kit from y'all. I'll listen to the rest of the program. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call here today. Let's go to Dee in Milwaukee. Dee, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Love the program. Wanted to let you know I am in healthcare. I'm not a nurse, but I am in healthcare, and I have been medically exempt since August. Now they are retracting their statement here, a well-known hospital in our area, Trauma One Level Hospital. They are now asking me to resubmit my medical exemption because they changed the wording so it complies with CMS. So this time around, I'm pretty well confident that I will not be having a job, but my God is in control, and he will he will guide me.
God bless you, Dee, for your call here today. And Twyla, that's what we're seeing happen, is a changing definitions. And I see that I was talking to another person who just volunteers in a system, in a medical system, and they were granted medical exemption only to be told just a week or two later, sorry, we're rescinding that.
Yes, well, nothing makes sense here because it doesn't make sense because it was never meant to make sense. It was only meant to impose control. And so wherever they find wiggle room, wherever they, the CMS itself, one of their employees figured out that organizations like ours was noting how their definition of vaccine or the so-called vaccine doesn't even comport with their own definition of vaccine. And so they changed the definition of vaccine so that it doesn't require that it prevents immunity anymore. Now it's just, helping to alleviate symptoms. This is not an endeavor built on truth. It's not an endeavor built on care or compassion. This is an endeavor built on control. And so if you try to look at it and make sense of it in any other way, you can't. You can't make sense of it. They're looking for every possible way to get you to comply, and taking away your job is one of those. And at the end of the day, when this is all done, hopefully there'll be lots of heads that will roll. I don't know, but you can hope.
Twyla Bray's with us here today on Crosstalk, and again, her website, cchfreedom.org. We'll take this break. We'll take the break and come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. In 1995, I wrote a book entitled Reclaiming a Nation at Risk. And on page 143 to 144, I wrote this, quote, "Suppose our government puts a vaccination tracking system in place, as we discussed earlier. Not only are they tracking vaccinations, but under outcome-based education, they're tracking attitudes, values, feelings, and emotions. Add the IRS into the component, and I smell a rat. What happens, however, if our leaders are not moral and not honest? What if those in control of these tracking systems decide that certain individuals and groups of people hold politically incorrect values and beliefs and need to be retrained? Could such a vaccination and attitude tracking system be used to persecute or eliminate those who do not accept the government's way of thinking?" End quote. Many of the things I was writing about then were seen to be extreme. Now, they are reality. I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, just moments ago, there was a breaking news alert that came from Fox saying this. The Supreme Court on Monday, today, refused to block a New York regulation that requires healthcare workers to get the COVID-19 vaccine without any religious exemptions. Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch dissented to while it looks like a 6-3 ruling. I don't know all the details about the New York case, but that is not really positive news.
That is not positive news. That's not positive news at all. And I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Coney, I mean, I'll have to look more into it, but Amy Coney Barrett, just given what we know about what, how the vaccines were produced and what might be in some of them or, you know, all those kind of concerns, it's interesting from her pro-life perspective that she voted to allow this to move forward without any kind of religious exemption. I think that's very interesting. Kavanaugh, that's interesting too, but I'm less surprised by that than I am Amy Coney Barrett. But at the end of the day, this is not good news. Not good news. Maybe there's some little something within the regulation that they would choose to go a different way with a different case that's not based on New York's regulation, but on somebody else's. That can be our best hope here, because that does not spell good things for anybody in the healthcare industry anywhere, if that's the case.
Yeah, so I don't know all the nuances of this particular case, but that is the breaking news liner, basically, that came out just a short time ago from Fox News. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ed is calling from Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'd like to know the answer to this. Is it all right to ingest ivermectin that was made for injection into horses?
Well, I'm not going to give you a medical opinion on that. What I am going to tell you is that there are people who have been using versions of ivermectin for other animals. They've been going to the feed and supply stores when they've gotten COVID, and it has they've gotten better within a few days. And even if they, you know, COVID to the point of having, you know, some either the cough or some difficulty breathing. So I know that this is being done. It is ivermectin, just like with any other medication where it's used for humans, like antibiotics, right? And it's used for animals. It's the same antibiotic. It's just at different concentrations for, you know, big animals, small animals, big humans, you know, right? And so it's all about dosing. It's really important if you decide to do that, right, that you get the right dose. But that what we really want is human ivermectin. And there's plenty of human ivermectin, particularly in India, where you can get it without a prescription. And in our COVID-19 quick reference guide, which is now online, you know, we give you one way to go looking for pharmacies in India. And this is one of India's big businesses. So I talked to a physician who uses this ivermectin from India, and he said they've not had any problem from India, because if it was counterfeit from India, that would just really decimate one of their biggest industries.
Thank you for the call. So look at the guide that they have at cchfreedom.org. Dominique in Muckwonago, Wisconsin, you're on the air. Hello, Dominique. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm really glad that you've been talking about mass formation today. I had seen a really good short video. It's like 16 minutes long from The Good Patriot on mass formation, and so I'm really glad you brought that up today. It reminded me of a couple of stories that seem so incredibly delusional, like you just can't even imagine. One of them is a UK health facility would not euthanize, end a man's life until he took the vaccine.
Yes. Yeah.
The other one that I saw recently was a social media post of a poor little boy, 8 years old, took the shot, had a heart attack, lived through the heart attack, went into a coma, seemed like he had a stroke on the right side of his body from the picture. And his mom posts under this picture, quote, "His first meal in 4 days since coming out of the coma as a result of his mini heart attack. So thankful he's vaccinated with all of the sick people in this place," unquote. And I also had a question really quick just from the last caller. Is it true that the FDA has gotten the U.S. Postal Service to intercept the ivermectin coming from direct orders from India?
Thank you, Dominique.
Yeah, so they may be trying, but we know lots of people who have gotten their ivermectin from India or gotten it from Mexico. Some people are getting it from Canada. So I think it really kind of depends. The prescriptions are skyrocketing, and those are prescriptions more than likely from here in the United States, where it's usually coming out of a compounding pharmacy or a mom-and-pop pharmacy that's not a corporate pharmacy, because most of the corporate pharmacies refuse to dispense it.
Amazing.
Heads should roll on that, too.
Yep.
But so I don't know for sure. I do know some has been stopped, but I don't know the extent of it. There's certainly lots of it still coming through.
Dominique, thanks for the call. Judith in Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air. Hello, Judith. Okay, let's go to Joanne, Tucson, Arizona. Joanne, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Twyla, you spoke about children and teens that were susceptible to COVID. Can you talk to children and teens with serious asthma and how susceptible they are to COVID?
So there's about six conditions, according to somebody who was listing them, but they really only listed the three, and those are the three biggest ones. I'm uncertain about asthma. The thing about children is, for the most part, children are not, they're just not very, I mean, if you think about a child that gets asthma, that has asthma and gets the flu, the regular flu or the seasonal flu, you know, that's really kind of what we're talking about. Some children might go through that better than others, and it probably depends on the degree of their asthma. But one thing to understand about COVID, you know, I really haven't said that, and I really do need to say that.
Twyla, we have 30 seconds, as much as you can get out.
Yep. COVID is initially a viral condition, and then if you don't stop it, then it becomes a inflammatory cytokine storm, an overactive immune response, and then that leads to clotting. So, you know, most children can stop it right there in the viral stage.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joanne. We are out of time. Twyla Bray's with us today. And, Twyla, you've got a lot of information on your website. And you have an e-alert system on your website as well for people to stay updated. Again, if you would just give us your site address.
Yes, it's cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And they can sign up at the top of the page.
Great. Twyla, thank you for the information here today.
Thanks so much, Jim.
And, folks, you can find that reference guide just brand new posted on their site as well, cchfreedom.org. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.